Good afternoon. It's 5:06 and 75 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Shamari Mosley. The summer reading program began today at the Round County Public Library. A new container farm opened last week at Elliott County High School. Mount Sterling is working to revitalize downtown. Hundreds of students plan to take advantage of the supplemental school year. More counties have been added to a flooding disaster declaration. A Kentucky senator is not backing the formation of an independent commission to investigating the January insurrection. Thousands at Ford are facing employment concerns. Showers likely tonight with a low around 60. We'll have a look at your region's extended forecast after this. County Public Library is hosting its summer reading program through July 31st for children, teens, and adults. Participants can register on the library's website at roundcountylibrary.org/summer reading. Jess Arnett is the library's summer reading program coordinator. She says this year's program is called Tales and Tales, and it is all about animals.
This year's will look a lot like last year's, which was virtual. We'll be presenting programs for teens and adults, along with creating take-home kits with crafts and activities for all ages. And then for our babies and our children, we will have virtual story time.
After registering, participants can visit the library's drive-thru window to pick up their take-home bags containing reading logs, crafts, and other goodies. Summer readers can earn free books and chances to win the grand prize, a gift card to Coffee Tree Books. Elliott County High School became the latest recipient of a container farm from App Harvest this week. On the last day of classes for the 2021 school year, App Harvest CEO and founder Jonathan Webb and state leaders traveled to Sandy Hook to dedicate the high-tech container farm. Michaela Rose is the agricultural instructor at the school. She says a new AG Tech horticulture program will be built around the container farm.
Currently we have different varieties of lettuce and herbs and we're going to provide to the school, our community, and hopefully within the next few years we will become self-sufficient and be able to run it ourselves.
Capable of growing more than 3,000 mature plants, the container farm will feed not only students at the school, but other community members. The city of Mount Sterling has seen a revitalization over the past decade that even a once-in-a-century pandemic couldn't stop. Less than 10 years ago, the streets along South Maysville Street toward a creek was neglected. Now the area has transformed into Adena Trail, which leads to a dog park. The town also recently saw the addition of the Market Pavilion, a structure that allows for many outdoor events. Dr. Danielle King is a member of Mount Sterling City Council. She tells LEX18 she's been working tirelessly to bring new life to the town.
Since then, we've been able to do our first Friday markets here. We also have activity and exercise groups down here, and we utilize it for many events now. So it makes it nice that this space is not only used for court day, but other events in town as well. There's an element of pride there because you're so proud of the town that you live in.
The next step for the town is the restoration of an old train depot. Hundreds of Kentucky students will take advantage of the supplemental school year offered through Senate Bill 128. WMKY's Ethan Jenkins has more.
According to the guidance published by the Kentucky Department of Education, the intent of the SB 128 supplemental year program is for students to retake courses after the prolonged remote instruction and barriers created by the COVID-19 pandemic. According to the Daily Independent, some superintendents are concerned for learning gaps, especially in the earlier schooling years of kindergarten through fifth grade. The NCAA has released guidance for Kentucky students seeking to be a Division I student-athlete and considering the supplemental school year. There should be little to no impact for any student pursuing athletics at an NAIA or NCAA Division II or III institution. KHSAA has issued guidance based on the association's bylaws, along with the NCAA's eligibility requirements. For WMKY News, I'm Ethan Jenkins.
We'll have a look at more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from Coffee Tree Books and the Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop, promoting literacy and reading in the MSPR listening area since 1978. Coffee Tree Books, where books are ordered every day and special orders can be accommodated, featuring a variety of gifts, locally made crafts, education materials, and yarn shop, a community bookstore located at 159 East Main Street in Moorhead. Coffee Tree Books and the Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop are open Monday through Saturday, online Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram.
Fayette County is now among the growing list of counties covered under a federal disaster declaration stemming from the severe flooding that hit the state earlier this year. The disaster assistance was already among the most expansive awards granted by the federal government in Kentucky in the last decade.
This being one of the largest award for displaced individuals from damages to homes since May of 2010 means that this is a very big deal.
Now, Governor Andy Beshear reports additional aid has been approved for 22 more regions affected by the historic flooding. New counties on the list include Fayette, Anderson, Jessamine, Laurel, Madison, Warren, and Woodford. The state says federal teams are already on the ground in the state, which should speed the registration process for those in the add-on counties. Assistance can take a number of forms, including grants for temporary housing and home repairs, low-cost loans to cover uninsured property losses, and other programs to help individuals and businesses recover. Applicants can go to disasterassistance.gov. Senator Mitch McConnell and Senate Republicans have made good on their pledge to quash an independent commission into the January 6th siege of the Capitol, arguing the legislation contained partisan undertones. The commission, which received the stamp of approval in the Democratic-led House, was halted by filibuster in the evenly split Senate. Defending his opposition to the proposed 10-member panel, McConnell repeated concerns that the commission was a political exercise meant to benefit the majority party.
I do not believe the additional extraneous commission that Democratic leaders want would uncover crucial new facts or promote healing. Frankly, I do not believe it is even designed to do that.
But Alaska Senator Lisa Murkowski, one of the six Republicans who broke ranks with her party, countered that it's the GOP that's looking to avoid any political fallout from a continuing conversation about the events of January 6. McConnell has argued the federal government is already mounting an effective search and prosecution of those responsible. Thursday, Nicholas Brockoff of Covington became the latest Kentucky man to face federal charges for his alleged role in the Capitol riot. So far, more than a dozen Kentuckians have been arrested in connection with the January attack. Thousands of employees are facing unemployment concerns at Ford Motor Company in Louisville. A company spokesperson confirmed the plant will shut down the week of May 31st through the week of June 28th, as well as the weeks of July 5th through July 12th. UAW local president Todd Dunn tells Wave 3 News the plant shutdown is due to a global semiconductor shortage.
I feel that the membership's very concerned, and rightfully so. With that uncertainty, you know, it brings challenges at home, right?
Through union agreements, full-time workers will receive 75% of their regular pay during the shutdown as supplement unemployment benefits. A Nicholsville-based medical testing company increased testing production more than 260 times pre-pandemic production to keep up with the demand of coronavirus testing. Back in August, Solaris Diagnostics was processing 40,000 COVID-19 tests a day. To accommodate that, the company increased production, expanded their lab, extended employee hours, and hired over 200 Jessamine County residents and medical school students. In spring of this year, the number of tests needing process dropped to around 10,000 tests a day. But the company's founder and CEO, and Dr. Priyapul Sidhu, tells LEX18 he heard about another need.
I was hearing stories from my brother back in India. I was looking at social media, you know, people were posting the videos where patients were going to hospitals and hospitals were turning them back, you know, because they didn't have bed, they didn't have oxygen to support them. And when you hear so much, I thought, let's do my part. You know.
The company arranged for 1,000 oxygen concentrators to arrive in Sidhu's village during the second week of March. Parents in the Commonwealth are trying to secure a COVID-19 vaccine for their children. Currently, the Pfizer vaccine is the only one approved for 12 through 15-year-olds. Moderna announced findings that its vaccine strongly protects that age group. Dr. Scott Tracy is with the Pediatric and Adolescent Associates, He tells WKYT the response to the shots has a big impact.
Phones, and it took us hours to get back to some people that were calling in asking if they could schedule their kids.
Experts say another vaccine for adolescents would bring more options, even though they say most parents don't have a preference. A man convicted in a Kentucky homicide and later pardoned by former Governor Matt Bevin is back in jail. U.S. Marshals arrested Patrick Baker on Monday morning. He is being held in the Laurel County Correctional Center on federal charges. Baker was convicted of reckless homicide in 2017 for the death of Donald Mills. He served 2 years of a 19-year sentence before he was released. Mills' sister Melinda tells WKYT the ATF contacted her about the arrest.
He said Patrick's in custody, so I didn't know what had happened. And he said he's in custody for murder, and he said it's in your brother's case.
The indictment released Tuesday morning alleges that Baker committed a robbery and kidnapping during which the death of Donald Mills occurred by use of a firearm and a quantity of pills containing oxycodone were taken. A Lawrence County man who's been under federal indictment for nearly 2 years was convicted on 11 counts of child pornography charges last week. WMKY's Leanne Akers has the story.
A jury deliberated for 2 hours after a three-day trial, convicting 49-year-old Dale Fraley of Louisa on 11 child pornography charges. Fraley was convicted of 5 counts of production, 4 counts of receiving child pornography, 1 count of distribution, and 1 count of possession. During the trial, it was revealed Fraley used different online personas to prey on teen girls. Earlier this year, a federal judge ordered a charge of producing obscene material to be severed from the child pornography case after prosecutors returned a superseding indictment against him alleging he had produced 3 videos of an adult woman raping an animal. Federal prosecutors nor the court record show when he would be standing trial for those charges or if authorities would continue to pursue the matter. For the charges Fraley has been convicted of, he faces a maximum of 30 years in prison on the production counts, 20 years on each receiving charge, and 10 years on each possession charge. Fraley is due for sentencing October 18th. For WMKY News, I'm Leanne Akers.
Taking a look at your region's extended weather forecast, the weather for tonight, showers likely mainly after 3 a.m., cloudy with a low around 60. Wednesday, showers with thunderstorms also possible after 3 p.m. with a high near 72. Wednesday night, showers and possibly a thunderstorm with a low around 60. Thursday, showers and possibly a thunderstorm with a high near 75. Thursday night, showers likely with a low around 61. Friday, a 30% chance of showers, partly sunny with a high near 80. And that's it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. Today we had help from Leanne Akers, Tanner Boyd, Paul Hitchcock, Greg Jenkins, Carrie Stambo, Cassie Stearman, Jonathan Burton, Ethan Jenkins, Carla Haight, Keneally Roberts, and WUKY's Josh James. Our theme music is composed and performed by Allison Brown. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY, Moorhead, Kentucky. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For all of the MSPR news team, I'm Shamari Mosley for WMKY News. Now back to All Things Considered.